afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly quarters for muster. And greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. I am back in the magical Isle of Vashon in the Gene Bosch studio. And many thanks to Captain O'Brien, Truman O'Brien, for engineering for me last week. And I've already briefed him that he will be doing this again for me in early July, because I will be going to the change of command ceremony for Polar Star, and because she's in the shipyard down in Vallejo, California, I am going there, and I will broadcast, hopefully with the permission of her captain. The change of command ceremony is on Monday the 11th, and I will ask permission to broadcast from either the bridge or the flight deck of Polar Star on Tuesday. So that will be an interesting broadcast, and the ship will by then have a new captain. And it will be interesting to see. My experience is that when a new captain relieves, that some facets of his personality drift down all the way down into the bilges of the ship very, very quickly. So it'll be interesting to see that. So I, in particular, not only for all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, listen to me on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and voiceofvashon.org, streaming live all over the world. And not only to people in Singapore and all the way around to the other side of the world in as far as the Kingdom of Sweden, but in particular to Captain Joe's people who have sent me signals during the week. And those include several, more than I would have thought, actually. Several people who thought that the story about the Belgian horse biting me on the shoulder was a story worth telling me that they enjoyed hearing about that. And I am reminded not only of the fact that in the last week I've been bitten by a large Belgian horse in Michigan, but also was when I was giving tours out at the lighthouse, was embraced by at least one very large water dog that had gotten into the water in Puget Sound and had decided then that I was as close to his regular master as he could find, and he plopped down, and so I ended up getting wet. Now, of course, I have been wet and cold for a good part of my working life. I didn't find that it was particularly distressful, and I was having a great conversation with a little four-year-old boy about crab claws and how they work, and so I did not take it amiss. However, the whole business of both being wet and cold by young labs that have just come out of Puget Sound and being bitten by horses, I am reminded of a statement by Queen Victoria, Her Majesty Queen Victoria, who until the reign of Elizabeth II, may she live longer and in good health, that Queen Victoria's reign was the longest before Queen Elizabeth. In any case, there was something that had happened around Queen Victoria, and her response to that was, "We are not amused." Well, I'm amused by being bitten by a horse, a Belgian, a large horse. And I'm amused by dogs that want to get as close as they possibly can, diffusing the dampness from Puget Sound all around the captain. So on the binnacle list, we have had some distressing signals come to the captain's chair and to the occupant thereof about people who have been quadruply vaccinated and who have yet acquired the virus. One of them, two of them actually, a husband and wife with whom Mary and I were and I remain particularly close, one of whom is who is a physician. And so let us hope that the non-immunity, obviously, but the lesser effects of the virus, which are supposed to be conferred by having all four of the inoculations, works for all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, and in particular those who are suffering from the virus, having taken all of the precautions that they were supposed to take. So also I got a signal today from to my signals today, one of whom came from my radarman shipmate from Vietnam and Ingham, Josh, who, in fact, his was one of the comments about being bitten by the horse. And I'm wondering whether or not he feels that this was some sort of retribution, long overdue retribution, from the way that I handled my crew, of which he was a member in Vietnam. In any case, this other signal came a couple of days ago, and that was from Master Chief, who was one of my unit commanders when I was the commander in the Sioux. And he has promised to go to the Antlers restaurant in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And when he is there, he is to be looking to see whether my name tag and my silver eagles, the eagles denote my rank as a captain. And when I left the Sioux, we had, there were a number of farewell gatherings. And again, I'm now led to wonder whether this was relief that I was finally headed someplace else. Or, but in any case, at one of those gatherings, my name tag was removed from my uniform, and the silver eagles on my collar points were also removed, and they were dutifully installed in a section of the Antlers restaurant. So Master Chief's mission was to go and see whether those were there, and I'm still there, and I am going to report back when I hear from him. Got a number of things that we are going to get caught up on today. And one of them is that you all will recall that I was pleased to report that there's been a program to help with the restoration of whale stocks, in particular along the West Coast, and even more in particular off places like Santa Barbara. And that ships have been given an incentive through an award program to slow down and thus cut back on the number of collisions between very large whales and even much larger ships with turning propellers. This program has continued through the year, and the report has just come out for this last year. It seems to take them a long time to figure out what ships qualify, and because we're talking about the year that ended on the 31st of December 2021, seems to me they'd know who it was and the body count, but in any case, we're just now getting that report. And that there are a number of global shipping companies that have agreed to reduce their speeds in a pretty heavily traveled part of the maritime world off the coast of Santa Barbara in California. And that there was a photograph that went with this article. It came from G Captain. G Captain, I recommend to anyone who is interested in matters maritime. And it is a great source. Came to me from another of my Coast Guard Channel people, Joe Leonard. And the photograph about this particular, that came with this particular article, I thought was particularly appropriate. It showed one of those car carriers that we see. I'm going to take a 2 second break here for a sluicing down into the scuppers of a little water. There we go. So this shows in the background a car carrier, and in the foreground are the flukes of a probably a sperm whale. I'm not that much of an expert on whale species as to identify from the flukes, but and I hope that the person who wrote the caption, because he says it was a sperm whale, and that and it shows the car carrier, and it is not showing a real bone in her teeth, so she is moving along at a relatively sedate speed. So I hope that this program will continue and that there are really more and more ships that become a part of it. It costs the companies almost nothing. They may have to make a small adjustment in their ETA, their estimated time of arrival. But in any case, there are significant in the counts of whales, there seems to be some significant improvement. So I am a great advocate for this particular program, and I will continue reporting on it so long as the news is good, and will give my usual seaman-like critique if it turns out the news is not so good. Over the last year, and probably under the influence of the virus and a couple of other things, including political turmoil, especially in Haiti, there have been more and more migrants coming across from Haiti and finding themselves in trouble in the Mona Passage. I leave it to all of you to look up where the Mona Passage is, because this is part of your training program in chart work. So call up the Mona Passage on Google Earth, and it will show you right where it is. There have been a number of really sad, tragic cases of people who collect money from people who want to try to find a better life in some other place, like the United States, in particular in Florida. And so there was one not too long ago, for example, where there were a very, very small boat carrying 36 plus 11. 11 people died. They picked up 11 bodies out of the water, and 36 were saved of who were Haitians, and they were picked up just 10 miles north of Puerto Rico. We mount patrols for, in particular for this, they have actually a dual mission for interdiction of migrants, and then the second thing, of course, is drug interdiction, and we are collecting far more than we should of both of those things, people and especially children. It is so heartbreaking. I've done this work, and it is heartbreaking to pick up, in particular, children who have been brought with their parents. Their parents have brought them with them in hopes of being able to come ashore in a place that will give them some kind of refuge. So this is all increasing as we go along, and I do not see that I do not see that there's going to be any slacking off of that particular activity. The we've been talking a lot here and a lot of other places about the flow of commodities, product of all different kind that comes into the country, into our country. We have an awful balance of payments in which we import far more than we export. Much of that, of course, comes from China, and in the case of motor cars, a lot of it comes from Korea. But regardless of from whence doth it come, there's a lot of it, more of it that comes in than goes out. And much of it is material that is used almost universally. And in particular, am I talking about things like cellular telephones? So the line of progress of all of these commodities coming, let's take China, coming from China and coming into U.S. ports. Let's take LOSA Long Beach, Los Angeles and Long Beach. And that because of the effects of the virus in particular, things have backed up in many, many U.S. ports. In order to unblock this, the Biden administration has appointed General Stephen Lyons. Now, General Lyons is the former commander of the Transportation Command. It is one of the this is one of the joint commands that are managed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and is and General Lyons is a former commander of the Transportation Command, and his title now in retirement, he is retired from the military. And his title now is the White House Port Envoy. I don't know who came up with that title, but in any case, his charge and his charter is to solve the port congestion problem. He's got a full dance card, if there ever was one, to do that. And having not yet been able to find a copy of the charter that his under which he's operating, I don't know whether he has any actual executive authority. Does he have any enforcement authority? Or is it just the moral suasion that his four stars, which are covered now by a civilian suit, whether or not that moral suasion is going to be sufficient to carry the day. I will keep on top of this and give everybody a report, because we are halfway through this year, and that means that we are almost up to that wonderful religious holiday known as Christmas, which, of course, at least in this country, is a huge shopping time. And much of the stuff that we buy comes from China and goes through LOSA Long Beach, Los Angeles and Long Beach. And so it will be interesting to see whether or not General Lyons is able to affect any changes in all of this. I'm going to take us back to Hong Kong. Those of us who served in Vietnam and who had an R&R time in Hong Kong may well have gone to the very large floating restaurant. When I was there, it was over in the typhoon shelter on the other side of the Hong Kong island. And I made a trip over there and dined in this restaurant. It was absolutely enormous. Because of the virus, again, the owner had decided to shut it down. And so it was no longer being used as a restaurant, and it was under tow. And the article that I read and the article that I read and the there's someone, actually a pretty girl, waving at me with a strawberry bag over her shoulder, wanting to come into the theater, into the studio, and I can't do it because I'm talking. Maybe she can wait for a few minutes. So in any case, it was under tow, and it got into a storm, and it rolled over and is now lost. It is one of the caption in G Captain says, "The death of Hong Kong's good old days." And I'm reminded of the Cave Bar. The Cave Bar was the bar that was being used by, certainly by the Coast Guard Cutter Ingham's crew, because I had visited there at the same time that I was doing a visitation to Christian Science reading rooms and orphanages and cathedrals. And so the cave bar was in the Wan Chai district, and it was presided over by Mama Daisy. And Mama Daisy took really good care of all of my Ingham people. It was a great place. If you can say a bar is a great place, and it really was sort of like a cave. You went to get into it. You went down these steps, and being in the Wan Chai, which was the sailors' district in those days. Maybe it still is. I haven't been to Hong Kong for a number of years. I really need to do that, to check up on Mama Daisy and the cave bar. But all of you hands who were in the Coast Guard contingent that served in Vietnam and you did an R&R in Hong Kong, I hope that you remember as fondly as do I the cave bar. We've had a series of accidents with car carriers, and I've reported on those. But the ones that I have not reported on are those carriers, a particularly smelly type of ship, I'm certain, that carry live animals. And there have been a series of accidents where these ships have also rolled over, and there was one just recently off of the coast of Sudan on the 12th of June that rolled over, and the animals are kept in open, they're open to the weather. The cages that hold them are open to the weather. And it looks to me like there is almost no consideration given to the treatment of these animals, and when the ship has problems, as in this case, rolled over, then all of the animals drown. So there is a move afoot now to ban the shipment of live animals. And I am going to be following this one as well. The photograph of the ship, not the one that rolled over recently off the coast of Sudan, but one that had troubles before, named the Al Kuwait, had seven levels above the main deck of these cages where animals are kept while they're being transported. The contract between the Longshoremen's Union, the ILWU, the International Longshore Workers Union, and the PMA, the Pacific Maritime Association, which represents the shippers, expires on the 1st of July. And the maritime press is being very optimistic that because no one is talking about strike, that they will have this all sorted out by the time, certainly not by the 1st of July. There are a number of issues that are still being worked on, but at least the negotiations are ongoing. And there are provisions in labor contracts for the extension of the work, even if the contract is past its expiration date. And that's what everybody is hoping. Again, we talk about the supply lines. And should a strike happen before the cooling off periods can be invoked, or the any of the provisions of the Taft-Hartley Act, for example, can be invoked, there would be a period probably where there would be no cargoes moving through the port of Losa, Long Beach, for example. And that would have really terrible effects on all kinds of things, all sorts of commodities which are handled by longshoremen. So I will, of course, continue to monitor all of these things as well. In the calendar, on the calendar, first of all, school is out, at least here on the magical Isle of Vashon. I know that in a couple parts of the country, the schools are still going on. There are some schools still open in Michigan, as a matter of fact. Some of the children who are being taught by my friends of family rank in Michigan are still in school. So, but here on the island, the school is out. And so it is my wish, my hope, my desire, and certainly my command that everybody who is driving here on the island be watching out for kids and dogs, cats running across that have gotten out of the house. And, of course, we've got deer. We've got fawns all over the place. So everybody keep a weather eye. The lookout should be posted as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is practicable. And all drivers being especially alert for our children and animals as they run without, as children are wont to do, run out into the streets after that ball. So everybody keep a weather eye. Sunday, the 3rd of July, is Mary R's celebration out at Point Robinson Light. It starts at noon, which is eight bells of the forenoon watch. It goes until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1700, and that is two bells of the first dog watch. Maybe it would be useful soon for me to explain how watches are designated, and especially the term the dog watch. I'll leave that one for a future broadcast. So there will be music by groups here on the island that Mary R. particularly liked. We both enjoyed so much. There'll be food and drink and music and stories. It is going to be a happy occasion, which will be mitigated to some extent by the fact that this is Mary R.'s party, but she has a different address. So I'm really looking forward to this. I've been given a huge amount of help by some wonderful people. And then the following day is the 4th of July, and that is when all of Captain Joe's people, family and friends of family rank who are able to come will be camping on my property here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And we're expecting maybe, my daughter Heather is working this problem, maybe 10, 12 tents set up on the property. And we'll be there for the fireworks for the 4th. The clock is reminding me that once again, even though we've covered a lot of material, that we have once again come to the end of our time together. And we, as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And we're going to meet right here at this same place next week. And on the a week from today, I will be back up in the captain's chair pontificating as I am wont to do. And I am so grateful for all of you and for your loyalty as I talk about all of these things, which seem to be important to you because you tell me that they are. And they are important to me because I know they are. And so that is what I have to say about all of that. All of you take care of each other. If you are responsible for other people, then please take care of them. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.